Let me take a few moments, give you a thought about this reading today. We don't often get the opportunity to preach a sermon online like this, or at least I don't, so this is a new experience for us. Excuse me. Well, last week we spoke at church about the mystery of the church. You may remember I talked to you about the idea that we are spiritually united to a visible church and an invisible church. And that Jesus gave us these sacraments as a gift for grace. These sacraments prove to us that God accepted the gift of Jesus. And we also talked about the mystery of these sacraments, that God revealed to us his grace through these sacraments. Well, this week I want to just speak briefly about the church again, but this time we're going to look at the responsibilities of the church. You see here, the three responsibilities of the church. And we're looking at a series of articles, at least six articles in this first section, a couple of articles in the second section, and then the last few articles of the 39 articles. So we begin with the first responsibility of the church. What is the responsibility of the traditions of the church? The responsibilities of the church. What are the responsibilities of the traditions of the church? You can see up on the screen, I've got the words, the responsibility of tradition. Well, what role does the church tradition play? Are we supposed to follow tradition? Are we bound by traditions? Or are the traditions there to help serve the church? It's not difficult to understand that many, many churches are bound by the traditions. You must wear robes. You must follow all the traditions of the church. Let me give you an example. When we first started at All Saints, I wore robes in the church. And we were renting a Roman Catholic church in those days. And I can tell you, when I wore robes during the church service and visitors would walk through the front door, they thought that we were having a Catholic mass, and it really confused them. So we decided maybe we don't need to wear the robes so that people might understand the message that we were presenting. So the articles explain to us that you don't necessarily need to embrace the traditions for tradition's sake. And you don't need to embrace new traditions for the sake of them being new. For example, in our new modern culture, we've got a new tradition of worship, which is largely related to music and a stage. And I've often wondered whether we should actually have a stage at church, because as I've said to you on many occasions, if you have a stage, then you have an audience. And if you have an audience sitting in the pews, maybe we've forgotten who the true audience is, who is Jesus Christ, the Trinity, God, as he listens to our worship. So this idea of traditions in the church, we have to be really, really careful. Obviously, we don't want anything that contradicts Scripture. But as we would say in the Anglican Mission, we have this idea that we have this freedom within fences. Within the large parameters of orthodoxy, we do whatever it takes to reach people. We do whatever it takes to reach people with the message of Jesus. So one of the other articles, actually it's Article 34 says, and they use the word repugnant, it's actually repugnant to conduct a service in a language that wasn't understood. So you remember in the old days, the service was preached and conducted in Latin, and nobody could actually understand the Latin. The priest would hold up the host during the high point of the Mass and ring a bell. People would turn their attention. This is the high point of the service, but the rest of it, they didn't understand at all. So it's a really great tradition to have Latin, but if it doesn't relate to people, why would you actually do it? So the idea is that traditions can eventually, if we're not careful, become a real bondage and we never move forward. But on the other hand, traditions can also be a safety net, stop us from running off the cliff. Everyone's doing it, let's do it. Well, what's the traditions of the church been doing? It's a guideline, it's a safety net. Do you remember when Jesus was walking with his disciples in the fields and they were taking the corn and rubbing it? And there was a question, the Pharisees were questioning him, you're rubbing corn to eat it, that's work. And Jesus responded and said in Luke chapter 6 verse 5, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. The whole point is that Jesus is Lord over the Sabbath. The principles and traditions of the church are under the lordship of Jesus. So here's the first thing that I want us to learn and maybe understand from these traditions of the church, that the biblical examples show us that traditions are living. That is, we belong to a community of people and a community that has a living tradition. It keeps moving. Last year we did this, and the history of the church gives us these traditions, but we also have new traditions. Underground church. Who'd ever thought that we would be doing church in a basement digitally because we are socially isolating? So you see, traditions are there to guide us and lead us, but they're also there so that we can adapt them to suit the gospel message. That's what we're doing today. So be careful that you don't get stuck in tradition for the sake of tradition. You know, there's an old story in Baptist churches. How do you move the piano in the sanctuary? Well, you do that 1/2 inch every year because the traditions have stopped us from moving the piano. So I want you to think about that. Let me tell you a story that I remember about a great-grandma that used to cook a leg of lamb. And what she did is she would cook a leg of lamb, cut 3 inches off the end of the leg and put it in the baking dish and cook the leg of lamb. Well, several generations later, the granddaughter was cooking the leg of lamb for her hubby. And she cut off the 3 inches off the leg of lamb and put it in the baking dish and baked the leg of lamb. And hubby said to her, honey, why are you cutting off 3 inches off the leg of lamb? And hubby said, well, that's how you cook. And the wife said, that's how you cook lamb. My mum taught me how to cook lamb that way. So next time when the couple were visiting and the son-in-law said to his mother-in-law, hey, mum, when you cook lamb, why do you cut 3 inches off the leg of lamb and put it in the... Well, that's how you cook lamb. My mother taught me that. And so eventually they went to visit the grandmother who was still alive, and the grandson said to his grandmother-in-law, Grandma, I know that when you cook a leg of lamb, you cut 3 inches off the leg of lamb, and why do you do that? And Grandma said, well, you see, when I buy a leg of lamb, I have to cut 3 inches off the leg of lamb so that it can fit in the roasting dish. Otherwise, I couldn't put it in the oven. And you see, we've been cutting off 3 inches off the leg of lamb ever since. It's a tradition, and sometimes we don't even know why we're having traditions. I must admit that as I look at the current situation today, I don't know why everyone's buying toilet paper and you can't buy toilet paper. Is that a tradition that somebody invented? Anyway, watch out. We have a responsibility in terms of the traditions of the church. That's the first thing. The second thing that the articles teach us, the second principle of church, is what I would call the responsibility of relationships. And in the old traditional church, people who were excommunicated, weren't allowed to have communion, were told, this is Article 33, said, you should treat them as pagans and tax collectors. Actually, the exact word is heathen and publican. You're supposed to treat people that don't take communion, who've been offended someone in the church or whatever, or done something wrong, excommunicated, you treat them as heathen and publicans. Now, I think this is something that's really gone astray in the modern church that we need to learn again from our brothers and sisters of the past. Let me give you an example. In our church, when everyone, anybody does a job or has a responsibility, I write up a little job description just to help with expectations. And the last paragraph, the last sentence of the job description, of every job description in anything that I've ever done in my ministry life, is this paragraph here. Let me read it to you. From time to time, difficulties with ministry team members may occur. Our motto is that our team is vital to the ministry of the church and parish. Should any conflicts arise, they are to be dealt with in a biblical manner directly with the person concerned. This is really what the gospel reading was today, about how to deal with people that you have a disagreement with. And that's what the history of the church has taught us too, these ancient traditions, that when you have an argument with someone, or that there is a situation of tension, someone's offended you, Matthew 18 tells us how you deal with rebellious people. Now, I can tell you, as a pastor, that's happened to me on several occasions. No doubt if you've been a pastor of a church, that's happened to you on occasions. You've had to deal with people who just are really rebellious. So Matthew chapter 18 says that you go and talk directly to the person concerned. I can tell you, people come to me sometimes and say, not in our community at All Saints, but in past churches, so-and-so has been a real problem, will you go and talk to them? No, you go and talk to them first. If the person doesn't listen after you try to talk to them, then Matthew writes, go take another couple of people and have a conversation with them and see if you can deal with this issue. And then if they still don't listen, then take it to the church. And then if they don't listen, treat them as pagans or tax collectors. Let me suggest to you the way it's been done that's not been healthy. We take it to the church, and some people have interpreted that as we go to the front of the church and we make a public announcement denouncing somebody or excommunicating somebody and hugely embarrassing them. I don't think that's what the text means. I think that the taking it to the church means you take it to the elders and you deal with it as a church community. And then you treat them as pagans and tax collectors. And if you think about that, that doesn't mean that you never talk to that person again. How did Jesus treat pagans and tax collectors? He loved them and cared for them. And he treated them as people who needed to know God and the kingdom of God. They needed to find heaven. So the second responsibility that we have as a church is in relationships. The first responsibility is in how we deal with traditions. The second responsibility is how we deal with relationships. You talk to the person. Don't go gossiping. Go directly to the person. Talk to them. And if they won't listen, maybe go get another person and talk. And then finally, if that doesn't work, well, go tell the pastor. And then let the pastor deal with it. I had a situation once in a church where somebody broke a terrible confidence and they wouldn't say sorry. And so we started a process of saying, well, look, until you're willing to say sorry about this situation, maybe you shouldn't be serving up front in the church. Well, unfortunately, in this case, the person didn't want to say sorry. Didn't make a big deal about it. That person eventually left the church, and love them and care for them as best we can, but had to be dealt with. So the traditions of the church, the articles especially, teach us that when it comes to the responsibility of relationships, when you try to help somebody and it just doesn't work and you've taken it eventually to the church, and I don't mean you have to bring them publicly and embarrass them, but deal with it as a community with leadership, then the articles teach us that we should treat these people, pagans and tax collectors, with love, like people who need to be saved. That's what Matthew 18 is all about. It means that even though they are unrepentant, we treat them as people who need salvation. Well, anyway, the responsibility of traditions, the responsibility of relationships, and the third one is the responsibility of obedience. One of the questions back then in the 16th century was, is the church supposed to obey the government when the government is doing things that is questionable? What about national service? What about when you're called up to go to war? Should the church not go to war or go to war? Should the church obey or not? Should Christians obey the law, or does the church have authority over the government? Well, you can imagine in the early days when King Henry was the eighth, was in charge of England, and the Pope was in charge of the church, there was a big fight about who was in charge of the country. So this question of the church having authority over the government, or should Christians obey the government, is a big issue that we've had to deal with over, well, many, many years. Let me give you a quick story. The reason why we're having this underground church right now is because last Sunday we had our last church service, and I checked online, I checked the federal government website, I checked the provincial government website, make sure that we were doing everything legally, and yep, you're allowed to meet as long as it's under 50 people, socially isolating, sanitizing your hands, all that sort of stuff. We did all of that, and in fact, when we had our service last Sunday, there were 15 of us, and we were more sterile than the grocery store. There were people sitting all over the church, totally separated from each other, and even when we had communion, we did it by distance. And we had little cups, like the Baptist. I went to the Baptist church and got some little plastic cups so we could have communion like that. Well, the next morning, Monday afternoon, I got a phone call from the White Rock Health Unit, part of the Fraser Health Department, and the report was that we were having large meetings in the church. I wish that were true, but we weren't having large meetings. We were having small meetings, one meeting. And I tried to explain to the lady we were following all the laws of the land as they were said on the websites as they were printed, and we were practicing social distancing and doing all the right things, sanitation and everything. And then I told the lady that we felt very convicted we should pray for the nation, and that's what we were doing. Suffice to say that that didn't really impress her a lot. And she said, no, we want you to shut down the church. So I had to make a decision, and we called the elders and we talked about it. Legally, we could fight this, but the government has asked us to shut down the church. Should we obey the government or not? And you can just imagine what would happen if we insisted on doing this and going to court and yada, yada, yada. And then, you know, the headlines in the newspaper across the nation is, little Anglican mission church responsible for killing half the people on the planet because of the plague. Really bad. That's just not the way to do church. So I said to the lady, okay, then, thank you. We won't have church. We obey the government. And question is, what should we do in a situation like that when that happens? Well, let me suggest to you that what Paul writes to the church in Italy, to the Romans, chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, has something to say to us in this situation. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. This is Romans 13, verse 1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Concept is not every government that's in place right now is what God wants, but the authority of government is something that God instituted. He instituted authority. And the way we respond to the idea and concept and truth of authority has a large impact on how we maybe even respond to the authority of God. I'm saying, and what the articles have taught us many, many years, last 500 years, we should obey and do what the government says we should do. Except when the government tells us to do something that is contradictory to Scripture. So, now, whether you think that it's contradictory to Scripture not to meet in a building together, or to for this period of time while we're trying to stop the spread of a virus over the whole globe and meet at home with my technical crew here and Jenny, a small team of four people, that's us. We do what we think the government's telling us to do. And if you are not prepared to do what the government tells you to do, then obeying authority means that you suffer the consequences. If you don't do this and you have to go to jail to do that, then you go to jail. You follow the rules of the government. In the end, God is your judge and your vindicator. So when the government starts telling us to do things that are against Scripture, then I'm afraid we will have to suffer the consequences of that. I love Charles Stanley, who has had a big influence on my life over the years, and he says this. This is a great statement from him. This is a summary, really, of Romans 13, 1 and 2. And he says, obey God and leave all the consequences to him. Obey God and leave all the consequences to him. Well, the traditions of the church, the relationships of the church, and the obedience of the church. We as a church community have responsibilities. And so I want to leave that with you to think about for today, that we have a responsibility to be careful with our traditions, not to follow them just for the sake of traditions, but not necessarily throw them out and go down the new road for the sake of because it's new, but to listen to what God is teaching us and understand that we have a living tradition. Remember, Jesus said that he is the Lord of tradition and even the Sabbath. We have a responsibility of relationships to be careful in our relationships and to talk to people and care for them. And when they are not willing to follow the rules of the church and the community, we treat them as people who don't know God. And finally, we have a responsibility to be obedient and honour the concept of authority, whether it be in the government or in the church or wherever we are.